we get the copies we needed? Okay. We're putting some additional agendas and information pieces together, so those of you who didn't get them, they should be ready in just a couple of minutes on the back table. So what I'd like to do is bring to order the meeting of December 12th, the Tiburon Town, Town of Tiburon, special meeting agenda. May I have a roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Thank you. Now is the time for anyone in the audience who would like to bring forward an item to the council that's not on tonight's agenda. You may step forward and do that. Just please mention your name when you come up to the podium. Seeing none, we will close that section and we'll move right on to the action item tonight. The action item tonight is the consideration of resolution for the town declaring its intention to take proceedings to underground all existing overhead utility facilities within the boundaries of the proposed Town of Tiburon Assessment District number 2017-1, Hawthorne Undergrounding District. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Welcome, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council and members of the audience. Thank you for coming out for this evening's special meeting. I'm going to go through a short presentation here regarding the item that's on the agenda this evening. We're here tonight to talk about a proposed assessment district that we're calling the Hawthorne Undergrounding Assessment District. This process, which is laid out in both state law and town policy, really starts with what we call a petition process. And over the past more than a year, frankly, the proponents of this have been collecting petitions regarding this undergrounding assessment district. And the proponents have submitted 83 petitions, which is a sufficient number to satisfy both state law and town policy. State law requires that a minimum of 5 property owners submit petitions, but that the total number of petitions represents more than 50% of the land area of the proposed district. The petitions submitted by the proponents represent 50.18% of the land area. Town policy, in addition to state law, requires that 60% of the parcel owners, at least 60% of the parcel owners, submit petitions. The submitted petitions represent 68.8% of the parcel owners. In addition, town policy requires that the proponents or the petitioners submit subscription deposits, and as required, in addition to the petitions, the proponents have submitted a total of $151,000 in subscription deposits. A few facts about the district or the proposed district itself. It's comprised of 121 separate parcels. It includes parcels on Rock Hill Drive, Hawthorne Drive, Hillary Court, Del Mar Drive, Tiburon Boulevard, Palmer Court, and Mara Vista Court. The district is made up, the majority of the parcels are residences, but the district also includes the parcels owned by St. Hilary's Church and School, Belvedere Tennis Club, and the Community Congregational Church of Tiburon. This is a proposed boundary map, or the proposed boundary map for the district, and just to get you oriented here, this is Tiburon Boulevard, right here. This is Rock Hill Drive. This is the tennis club, so that just kind of gives you a sense of where the boundaries of the proposed district lie. Tonight, we're asking council to consider a resolution of intent, which is really the first step in the administrative process for forming the district. Although the proponents who have been collecting petitions probably feel like it's been a full-time job for the last year, this is really the first official council action. And for the benefit of members of the audience and the council, I've laid out sort of what are the minimum steps that the council will take as this project progresses. Again, the first is the resolution of intent, which you are considering this evening. If the resolution of intent is approved, the next council meeting, and I want to just point out that the only date that's certain here is today's date. The rest of the dates are basically estimates. So the second would be council's consideration of the engineer's report. And the third would be a public hearing. The fourth would be authorizing the bonds and ordering the completion of the plans and specs. And the fifth would be awarding the construction contract. And the estimated dates for each of those are there. Now, there are any number of things that could lengthen this timeline and also add council meetings. But if things progress smoothly, this would be the minimum number of council meetings regarding this subject. Again, this evening, we're asking council to consider a resolution of intent. And if the resolution of intent is approved, it would do the following things. It would declare the intent to form, declares council's intent to form the assessment district. It would appoint bond council, and in this case, it would be bond councils. The town policy is unusual in that it requires bond council to provide advisory services to the property owners. In talking with bond council who do the typical role of providing sort of the legal analysis and ensuring that the town follows the proper processes, we could not find a bond council to do both that and also provide advisory service to the property owners. So we are proposing to engage two bond councils, essentially, one that would simply provide advisory services to property owners. The resolution of intent also approves the preliminary district boundary map, which I showed you in a prior slide, and also appoints the district engineer and directs that district engineer to prepare the engineer's report. Regarding this item, early in 2016, the town issued a request for a proposal for the engineering services. We received four proposals. We interviewed, I believe, two firms, including we had folks who were working to form the district on those interview panels, and we are recommending that Harris Engineers is appointed as a district engineer. It's also important to note that all the expenses associated with these actions will be paid for by the subscription deposits that I mentioned earlier, again, that $151,000. It's also important to note that this will exhaust the entire $151,000. We do not anticipate any surplus funds available after these tasks are completed. I mentioned that, you know, one of the key things that the resolution of intent does is it authorizes or directs the district engineer to prepare an engineer's report. That engineer's report, when complete, will provide a preliminary estimate of the total project cost. It'll determine the special benefit provided to each parcel, which is the basis for the assessment on that parcel. And it also determines the general benefit provided by the project. Now, this is important as the general benefit cannot be included in the assessment. Property owners, in addition to any assessment on their property, property owners will also be responsible for the cost of the lateral connection to their home. This is the connection from essentially the street in front of their home to their meter on their house. Although the engineer's report will include a cost estimate, we have previously asked the proposed district engineer to give us a even more preliminary estimate of the project cost, and that is $8.4 million. And I just want to let folks know that that estimate includes just over $1 million in construction contingency, and this represents about 25% of the estimated construction cost of the project. Remember that the total project cost includes many items in addition to the construction. And also, in the same very preliminary estimate, the district engineer estimated that the general benefit could be 10 to 15% of the project cost on this project. So regarding the cost of undergrounding projects, the town has an undergrounding policy, and it states specifically that unless contributions are available from other sources, property owners should know that 100% of the cost of the underground project will be borne by the property owners in the district. If available, funds from PG&E and other utilities will be applied to help reduce those costs, but there is no assurance of such availability. Regarding utility funds that may or may not be available, the only appropriate fund are what we call PG&E Rule 20A funds. And this is a 1.5% tariff on everybody's utility bills in Tiburon, and it generates approximately $30,000 per year. PG&E holds those funds in an account, and 20A funds are specifically earmarked for undergrounding utilities. We currently have an active undergrounding project. As council knows, the town has undertaken undergrounding projects on its own, And we currently have an undergrounding project that's in design at PG&E, and this is to underground utilities along Tiburon Boulevard between Lyford and Ned's Way. Council may remember that early in 2016, we completed an undergrounding project from Mar West to Lyford. So this is the second sort of step of the council's top priority, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. This project that's in design will use approximately $875,000 of Rule 20A funds, and this includes not only the approximately $700,000 that's on deposit currently, but also funds expected to be deposited in the next 5 years. This five-year look forward is allowed under the Rule 28 program in PG&E. We will also use an additional $400,000 of general fund reserves, and these would be considered Rule 20B funds. And those are strictly funds coming from the property, from the owner of the project, which in this case is the town. Regarding the town's stated priorities in undergrounding, in 2005, Council unanimously voted to confirm that Tiburon Boulevard continues to be the town's Rule 20A funding priority, and that the next project priorities would be Mar West to Ned's Way, Ned's Way to San Rafael Ave, and Reed Ranch Road to Trestle Glen Boulevard, and designates Trestle Glen Boulevard, Tiburon Boulevard to Paradise Drive as the next priority after Tiburon Boulevard. I highlighted item A in red just to remind folks that, as I mentioned, we've completed half of this in January of this year, which was the Mar West to Lyford stretch, and the project that's in design with PG&E currently is the second half of priority A. The town not only has undertaken underground projects on its own, it has also facilitated numerous assessment district undergroundings, like the one that's being proposed this evening. In all of the past undergrounding assessment districts, engineers' report did not identify any general benefit in any of the prior projects, and the town has not contributed general fund money to those prior projects. Now, there is an exception to that, and that's the Del Mar project. And general funds were used to essentially pay the cost of litigation and associated costs. And this was a total of about $1.36 million the town ended up paying out of the general fund. And this was to pay for litigation costs plus the settlement cost of about $1.14 million. And as part of the settlement, the town paid for the supplemental assessment for the Reed Union School District and for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. So again, this evening, we're asking Council to look at the resolution of intent, which was described earlier in my presentation. However, future, you know, I just want to, we don't expect to have an in-depth discussion of these items, but the in the future, there are certainly a couple of fiscal questions that pop out that Council will have to consider as we move forward. One is, how is the general benefit funded for this project? And the second is, how is the completion of a biddable set of plans and specifications funded? This is estimated at about $407,000. This expense would be reimbursed by the bonds if the project were to be completed, but if the project were not to be completed or abandoned at some point after this expense was incurred, that cost is not recoverable. This really concludes my presentation, and myself, Attorney Stock, and Director Burns are available to answer questions.
Thank you, Greg. Are there any questions from Council? Alice?
When in the process do we attack the issue of how and who can pay or is willing to pay for the general benefit?
You know, we've had this discussion, when I say we, I mean Attorney Stock and I have had this discussion with bond counsel, and in the consensus seems to be that, you know, certainly before the, when the preliminary report is provided to council for review, the engineer's report, the next step is for council to accept that report and authorize a vote of the property owners. And certainly the property owners deserve to have all the information necessary to make an informed decision on that vote. So it would be our recommendation that council settle that issue prior to authorizing a vote on the assessments for each individual.
Before the second meeting, before the next
probably
meeting.
During the second meeting.
Or during it.
Yeah.
What is the timeline for, I saw a proposed timeline if we march right through it, but is it possible to look at some of the priorities for the town's general capital improvement program before we start tackling the issues of general benefit, or is that just a long process?
No, I believe that it lines up fairly well. We are scheduled to have the council retreat on March 3rd of this year, and if we go back to the timeline that I presented earlier, the second council meeting on this item would be, I believe, in April. So the council retreat will be about a month prior to that second council meeting being scheduled.
And should there be a very generous donor who is a member of the district, and they agree to pay some or all of the general benefit, they just agree to do it, can that cost be part of the bonding program?
I think the short answer is yes. If there was a commitment, if a source of funds for the general benefit has been positively identified prior to the sale of bonds, that information will be factored into how many bonds we sell, what the ultimate sale of bonds will be.
Even if the general benefit money actually comes because the district members have agreed to carry it?
Yeah. Yes. If the district members agree to carry it, it's relevant to how many bonds we need to sell for the full amount. But I think your question also implicitly asks, can that general benefit then be spread as part of the assessment? And the answer to that is no. It's a distinct obligation, but it's not part of the assessment.
So it won't appear on the parcel tax?
Correct.
And then is there a way, a path toward this agreement where if the town feels they should contribute, the contribution can be contingent on the district actually forming?
I think that would be, by definition, that would be the case. If the district didn't form, then there'd be no need for the town to make that contribution.
Okay. So that is not an obligation that's incurred before the district is formed?
That's right, but the town, and Ben can jump in if I get this wrong, you know, the town would want to make that commitment more or less ironclad before they preliminarily approve the engineer's report and call for the vote, which will, you know, when the property owners are essentially voting on their individual assessment on their parcel.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have some questions. So, things have changed in a couple of years, because in previous undergrounding districts, there was no such general benefit that the town was paying. Is there any history of how this has changed over time? Is it has to do with other districts or litigation or whatnot?
A little of everything. Okay. The general benefit there's always been a requirement to pay for general benefit, but I think this district is unique in that the assessor engineer already has identified some general benefit, where in previous districts there was no general benefit found by the assessor. So one, that's a judgment call that the assessors have made already preliminarily in this district as compared to the other ones. But also the case law has developed where cities no longer have so much discretion to make these judgment calls. It has to be based on a lot of evidence in the record. So, you know, the engineer's reports, just by the fact saying there's no general benefit, they better have it backed up by evidence, otherwise the court will take a second guess at that.
Okay. And for instance, in Del Mar, when the assessment engineer looked at general benefit, he noted that there were no major collectors or arterials involved inside the boundary, and in this one we have Tiburon Boulevard, which is an arterial. So it's a different set of facts as well.
There were other facts in that particular case that a lot of other facts that are slightly different than that. But as part of the general benefit assessment that the town would be levied, would we also have a vote then within that process? Would we be, in effect, like one of the parcels that's voting if we're 10% or 15% of that special benefit that's granted?
we don't have a vote per se as similar to a property owner, but the council has discretion throughout this entire proceeding to decide not to move forward, in part because the general benefit is
okay. But it's not, it's not separated or broken out. It's right. Just as part of the general process. And then lastly, would whatever assessment was given for general benefit to the town, would we be able to roll that into the bonding process such that we were also paying that over a period of time that the property owners are also paying it?
Well, first, I want to be clear. You mentioned the general benefit assessment. That's not the case. Although there's likely to be general benefit identified as part of this project, there's certainly no requirement that the town pay for that general benefit. So it's not being assessed against the town. It's
okay.
Simply being identified as a portion of the cost of the project that cannot be spread on the assessment to the property owners.
Which will be handled by the engineer that's we're hiring.
Right. Your second question, which is, can that be part of the, it can't be part of the bond sale, again, because it can't be part of the assessment, but certainly if council chose to, it is an expense item that could be financed, in any number of ways by the town through different debt instruments.
Financed through the same sale of the bonds or in a separate, would have to be?
It would be a separate transaction.
Why would it have to be separate?
Again, because the general benefit associated with the project can't, well, actually, I'm actually not completely sure about that, but I don't believe it can be part of the bond sale.
It's just something to think about.
Yeah.
If the $8.5 million figure that you put up there is the correct figure and there's a roughly 10 to 15% towards the town expense, could that expense be rolled into the bonds that are also being sold for the property owners?
Certainly, one way or another, it can be financed. Whether it's through that particular bond sale or some other debt instrument, it certainly can be financed.
Okay, Alice?
Can you follow up for me on that again? Because I got a little lost in that. So I think I understood that we clarified that if the members of the district decided that they would pay for the general benefit themselves, it couldn't be assessed, it couldn't be part of their bond package. What are their options for paying it besides writing a check? Is there any way for them to finance?
I think you identified certainly one of the options, which is simply contributing out of their pockets to pay the general benefit.
Yes.
We would have to explore if there were other options available for the property owners to finance an additional amount over and above their assessments.
To clarify, we don't quite know that answer because when the other part of the process is we have to appoint an underwriter, and the town is also going to go forward and have a finance advisor to also help us identify different financing mechanisms. And I do know, speaking with the bond council, that there is a portion of the bond proceeds, it's a very small percentage, which is set aside to help with certain hardships of property owners for financing for laterals. But I think it's 1.5% of the bond issuance. There might be other mechanisms bond council might be able to identify that could help pay for the general benefit.
Any other questions from council? All right, seeing none. All right, what I'm going to do now is open up the public portion of the meeting, and anyone that would like to come forward and share some feedback to us, that'd be great. We'd like to kind of manage it because there are a lot of people in the room. If everybody likes to speak and everybody takes 3 minutes, we'll be here for that number of minutes. Or if you speak longer, we'll be here that much longer. I prefer not to exercise the right to cut somebody off, so I would just ask if we could keep the comments to 3 minutes or less, that would be great. Now saying that, is there anybody like to come forward and share some feedback or pose any questions to the council or staff? Yes, please come forward. And if you would, when you get
here.
Yes, right up here, and if you would, when you get there, just mention your name and your address, that'd be great.
My name is Richard Seidman. My wife Jill is here. We live at 14 Mara Vista Court. We've been advocating this project for years. Ever since we moved here, which is a long time ago, more than 30 years ago, We've advocated this undergrounding project, and we're delighted to see it come forward, and we would support it without hesitation.
I certainly, the council certainly appreciates the enthusiasm and smiles in the audience, but if we could hold our applause till the end, that would be great, if perhaps not have any applause at all. Would anybody else like to come forward? Would you please come up, state your name, and
I'm John Hermansky, and I live at 690 Hawthorne Drive, and we're wholeheartedly for it also. I'd like to ask a question. It could be simplistic, but with your ongoing, with the town's ongoing obligations or plans for other undergrounding projects, as you explain up here, does that influence your, influence your contribution as may have been offered to the cost of this project?
I don't know that we can answer that question directly, simply because we haven't had a chance to discuss everything fully tonight, which we will do after we close the public meeting. And secondly, we have a retreat on the 3rd of March, and part of the one of the things we do during the 3rd of March retreat is we look at our overall budget and our capital appropriation fund to see how our priorities will fall on the line for the next fiscal year. That would be fiscal year 2017-18. And so it's a bit premature to give you a direct answer. And so we wouldn't necessarily give you a direct answer here. It would be discussed, and then we'd come back and try to make sure we answered that question.
You may be able to talk about or consider it in the coming year, or maybe the year after, or something like that. Is that possible?
Well, it'll certainly be on the agenda to discuss at our 3rd of March retreat, and that's a public meeting. Anybody's welcome to attend that meeting. We'll post it where we have it. And we generally have that in the morning, sometimes from 8 to about 1 o'clock. It's a longer meeting, but everybody's welcome to attend if they would like to.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Would anybody else like to come forward with a question or a comment? Seeing none, I will close the public meeting and bring it back to council for discussion. And would any one of my colleagues like to open the discussion?
I'll start. Since this first came up a while ago, I kind of made it a point to go through the plan, the resolutions, to see where the town stands on undergrounding. And as stated in the resolution, the town has long since had a history of supporting undergrounding, not just along Tiburon Boulevard, but throughout the town as part of its policy. I understand that there will be plenty of discussions to be had about what type of role we will play going forward. But as far as forming the district and moving forward at this point, I'm fully in support of that.
Thank you. Alice?
Just adopting Aaron's comments, I am fully in support at this point of moving forward.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Trying to keep your meeting short, Ken. Your first act as the new mayor, I would support it as well.
Thank you.
I'll be a little longer. I'm sort of an ardent supporter of undergrounding. I think it's a very worthwhile thing for a neighborhood to undertake, and only a town is there to support it. We're the ones that control the streets, got to dig up the streets. We're the ones who can provide the financing mechanism to pay for it for over 30 years. And these type of districts, as some of the ardent proponents will know, are very difficult to form. And I think I'd like to just commend the work that you've done, because this has been an arduous task and a great learning experience along the way, with learning about not only just the number of parcels, but also the square footage and whatnot. And commend you on the work that you've done. I would like to say that, and I'm also obviously going to very much support it, but I'd like to say that
following this district or in the coming months, I think we should look at our underground policy in a little bit more detail. I think that one of the things that we could look to improve is possibly increasing the subscription amount that a particular parcel has to pay or is allocated slightly differently. Because as you can see, as part of this process, the town is going to take an enormous expense just to go out and have all the plans developed. I think it's mentioned is around $500,000. And then once all that's developed and we found out what everyone's benefit is and how and how much it will cost everyone, we'll then take a vote. And I think if we have a little better understanding that there's a little more skin in the game, so to speak, from the get-go, I think it would be a little bit easier also for these districts to get going, and the sort of the outcome would be a little more assured. So I'd like to, in the future, if we can look at addressing that. I know I've spoken to both Greg and Ben about that privately, but I'm very happy that this district is on its way to step one.
Thank you. Well, I would echo what my colleagues have said. I'm in support of this resolution that's in front of us tonight. I just echo the comments that were made. I think Emmett's comment about taking a look at our policy makes good sense, because there's probably some more districts that would need to be formed or would want to be formed. And the better clarity and the easier we can make the process, everybody wins in that kind of a situation. So I will ask, is there someone who would like to bring forward a motion?
I'd like to move the motion as drafted.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. And looking back at the agenda, seeing that there's nothing else on the agenda, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for coming.
You're right,
you got it.
I thought it was going to be at 10 o'clock.